Last week, we kicked off our series, Reality TV, with Naked and Afraid. And I had someone told me they didn't watch any reality TV. And I said, oh, really? Don't watch like Deadly? Oh, yeah, watch that, watch that. You know, and we went through. They're like, oh, I didn't know that was reality. But reality TV, it's supposed to be kind of a unscripted real-life drama. And they take all kinds of different forms. So some of them are like competition, like The Amazing Race. There are talent shows, American Idol and The Voice. There's dating shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. There are career shows like Deadliest Catch. And then there are some that, honestly, they're kind of hard to define, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And I'm thinking, who would want to? But anyway, you know. But I mean, some of the shows are interesting, and some are shocking. Some of the shows make me wonder who's watching, and apparently a lot of people are, because the number of reality shows has doubled since 2014. And here's a little trivia. Do not get your phones out. No Googling, all right? We'll just see how in tune we are. Do you know how many reality shows or reality series are presently on TV? All right? A, 75. B, 150. C, 300. Or D, more than 750. So I'm going to go through it again. You raise your hand on the one you think it is. A, 75. B, 150. C, 300. D, more than 750. The answer is D. There are more than 750 shows on TV that are reality oriented. All right. Do you know what the longest presently running reality series is? A, Amazing Race. B, Survivor. C, Biggest Loser. Or D, The Hasselhoffs. I said that with a straight face, sort of. All right, A, Amazing Race. How many of you think that's what it is? All right, B, Survivor. All right, C, Biggest Loser. Any Hasselhoff fans? Well, it's B. It's Survivor is the longest running show presently. That's a reality. It premiered in 2000. It just kicked off its 36th season. They do two seasons a year. And they started with Ghost Island this time. And the show takes place, and it puts a group of strangers in an isolated location. And they've got to provide food and fire and shelter for themselves. And in the beginning, they divide them up into two tribes, or sometimes more than that. And besides surviving, the group has to compete in these various challenges to earn, like, rewards, like food or luxuries that make life a little bit easier. Or there's the coveted, the individual immunity award. And at the end of each show, the tribe gathers, the tribe council, and each person votes to eliminate someone. And so the host, Jeff Probst, he tallies the votes, and then he declares who's eliminated. And he has that person bring their torch forward. And he goes, the tribe's spoken. And then he snuffs out the flame. He says, it's time for you to go. And so each week, you've got these competitions. And survival becomes more and more challenging as the weeks go on, because the tension increases, trust decreases, fatigue begins to set in. And as alliances are broken, things get really difficult at a point. And so each week, you got someone being eliminated until there's finally a sole survivor. You know, and that person, they will have outwit, outplayed, outlast. They become the winner, and that's kind of the show's tagline. Well, today what I want to do, I want to look at a difficult situation. I want to look at a situation where survival depends on trust. It depends on patience and obedience and some hard, hard work. And I want to look at the first survivor in the history of the world, a guy named Noah. I mean, I want to look at why he wasn't eliminated. And I want to look at why God chose Noah. You know, Scripture says that the world had become so evil that the inclination, every inclination of the human heart was evil. And I want you to think about that for a minute. Every inclination was evil. And it was so bad that when you read the story, it says it grieved God to the point that God has to make a painful decision. It says, so the Lord said, he's talking to Noah, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created, and with them the animals and the birds and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret I have ever made them. Ouch. You know, archaeologists tell us that there probably were about 1 million people on the planet at that point. And so Noah is really one in 1 million, so to speak. And I want you to imagine for a moment. I want you to imagine that you're God. And you're going to start the world over. What kind of person would you choose? I mean, if God made the decision to destroy the world and start over, would you be a survivor? That question makes you a little uneasy, doesn't it? I mean, it did me when I was thinking about it. You know, Chronicles writes this in 2 Chronicles. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the entire earth to strengthen those whose hearts are what? True to him. True to him. Hearts that are true to him. God looks and searches for hearts that are true to him. God decides he's going to destroy the earth. He's going to destroy it with a flood. And he begins to look for a survivor, someone that can restart the population. You know, Genesis 6:6 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why did God choose him? I mean, what kind of people does God look for? The fact is, if you're going to be used by God, and we're going to take our cues from Survivor this morning, I believe you got to outwit, outplay, and outlast. In order to outwit the opposition, you have to begin to engage yourself. You have to begin to engage your mind. You have to start paying attention to the world around you. Begin to engage in what God might want to do when God calls you, that you're paying enough of attention that you get it, that you sense those promptings, that you step forward and you step up when God calls you and gives you an opportunity. In other words, you've got to be available. You've got to be willing. You've got to be obedient. And the fact is, God is always, always, always looking for someone to use, someone to work in and to work through. God looks and watches. And in fact, I've said this many times, God is more interested in your availability than your ability. In God's eyes, your attitude is much more important than your aptitude in life. And see, Satan, I believe, wants to eliminate you from the competition. He wants to eliminate you. He wants to eliminate you so that you're not being used by God. He wants to remove you so you can't make a difference in this world. And I believe one of the easiest ways that he eliminates you is he outwits you. See, he gets you to focus on your lack of ability. Gets you to make excuses. He gets you to eliminate yourself. Well, I can't do that. God could never use me. I mean, God can use people, but not me. He needs to get someone that knows more than I do. He needs to get someone that's more talented, has more experience. You know, some of you look at life and you think, well, I don't know why God never uses me. I just don't get it. Why doesn't God use me? You see God using other people. You see God doing something in a significant way in someone else's life or a supernatural way. And you think, well, I don't have experiences like that. Wish God would use me like that. Well, friends, I want to tell you, God wants to. God wants to. If you'd start paying attention, if you'd start being available, God would amaze you. In fact, he'd blow your mind. But you got to quit focusing on what you can't do and let God decide what you can and can't do. You just say yes when the opportunity arises and you see where God takes you. I know a lot of people who allow God to use them on a regular basis, and they are not superstars. They are not the most talented. They're not necessarily brilliant. They're just average, ordinary people. People with flaws, people with failures, people with fears. In fact, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize God doesn't need superstars. He just needs people that are paying attention. People who are looking for the opportunity to be used. Let me ask you this. Are you being outwitted? Are you eliminating yourself from the equation? Are you falling for the evil one's plan to eliminate you? Or are you available? Are you looking for an opportunity for God to use you? Do you have that attitude that when God calls, when you see the opportunity, that you just go, okay, yes, whatever you want, God? Too many people get outplayed. Two. And by that, I'm talking about being who God created you to be. You hear me talk about this a lot around here. Be who God created you to be. Be who God calls you to be. Be different than culture. Be God-honoring in your life. You cannot do what God wants you to do by trying to be like everybody else. Be you. You're uniquely and wonderfully made. It says Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah was blameless in his day. This was a time when culture was morally bankrupt. It was full of corruption. When you read scripture, it talks about it was violent. Immorality was rampant. Noah, though, had deep convictions. Noah, he dared to be different. Noah was willing to stand out and to stand alone if necessary. Noah wasn't interested in a popularity contest. You know what he was interested in? Noah wanted to please God. He wanted to please God. I think in America especially, we have this tendency to think that the majority is always right. And unfortunately, many Christians, we easily fall into line with that thinking. And consequently, we get outplayed. And I don't know about you, but I look at society today and I go, who is the majority anyway? I mean, it's hard to figure out. You got Facebook and you got Twitter and you got all the media outlets, and they lead us to believe that this is the majority, whatever it is. Which, in fact, I think we're getting outplayed there. We're getting outplayed by lies, by biased information. You never get outplayed. Hear this, you will never get outplayed when you align yourself with God. Noah, he's faithful. Noah's obedient to God. And I think it would have been difficult in that day for him. Can you imagine the criticism that he faced? I'm sure his neighbors thought he was crazy. You know, he's building a boat in the middle of the desert. How loony can you get? You know, people would see him in the store, and they'd begin whispering, laughing, making fun of him behind his back. You know, hey, it's that guy. It's that guy. He thinks God talks to him. You know, he thinks the world's going to end. You know, he's nuts. Stay away from him. And this went on for 120 years. You know, there's no doubt he would have had pressure from his family. Can you imagine being one of Noah's kids? I mean, seriously. Hey, be at school. Hey, what's your dad do? Yeah, he's an ark builder. What's an ark? Career days, nightmare. Imagine being a teenager. Teenagers are tough. How many of you got teenagers? Yeah, can you imagine? Dad, the boat in the front lawn, it's an embarrassment. It's totally embarrassing. You know, what are you doing? Can't you do something normal, please, Dad? Could you put up with being misunderstood for years? Could you put up with being criticized for doing the right thing? Could you have your convictions questioned on a regular basis? See, many times we get outplayed because we decide that conformity is much easier than being who God called us to be, than being God-honoring in our life. Because many times to be God-honoring means that we go against the cultural stream in life. You know, the writer of Proverbs says, it is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you trust the Lord, you are safe. If you worry about what people think, you will be outplayed. You will make bad decisions. You will find it very, very difficult to live for God in your life. See, Noah, he's available. Noah's willing. The fact is, he's willing to be who God created him to be, who God called him to be. He's willing to be different. He's willing to stand out from culture. He's willing to be obedient. He's willing to have convictions. He wanted to please God more than anything, and Noah trusted God. And I think, well, what gave him so much confidence? Well, it was in the scripture we read a minute ago. It says he walked faithfully with God. In other words, he had a personal relationship with God that happened on a daily basis. You know, that relationship, it strengthened him. It gave him clarity. It gave him direction. That's the kind of people that God uses, the people that are in relationship with him. Noah, he wasn't out running around talking to everybody, go, hey, what do you think I should do? You know, I just don't know what to do. God says I should do this, but what do you think? Friends, if you seek God, if you trust God, you'll be obedient to God. And when you do that, you'll never get outwitted. You'll never get outplayed in your life. Noah, he stays the course. You know, he outlasts the opposition. How do you do that? How do you outlast? How do you stand strong? You know, Noah, he follows God. Full obedience. Not once in a while obedience. Not part-time obedience. Not if I feel like it obedience. Not if it's convenient obedience. No, complete obedience. Noah follows God. In fact, it says Genesis 6:22. Noah did what? Everything. Just as God commanded him. Doesn't say he did some things. Doesn't say he did things his way. No, Noah did everything just as God commanded. Noah did it without making excuses, without arguing about it. Everything, not some things. Everything, not partial. Everything. He did it completely unconditional, unconditional obedience. And I will tell you that trust and obedience go hand in hand. And I know right now some of you are thinking, well, I trust God. I believe in God. Well, friends, do you follow God without question? Do you trust God even when it's difficult? Do you trust God fully that you're willing to obey whatever it is God asks you to do? Because if you trust and you obey, well, then you follow. And that's tough sometimes, especially when it doesn't make sense. You know, the project that God gave Noah, it didn't make sense. It does to us now, but it didn't then. I mean, the Bible says that up until that time, there had never been rain before. Genesis says the earth was, every morning, there was a mist, a dew, so to speak, and it watered everything. Atmosphere was different before the flood. In fact, scientists, they've kind of theorized that there was a canopy around the world, and it surrounded it, and that's why people lived longer prior to the flood, because of that just canopy that was a protection. But can you imagine people go, why are you building an ark? Looks like a giant boat. Why are you doing that? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? They don't know. They don't know what it is. They've never seen rain before. They're living in the middle of the desert. You know, they're 500 miles from any large body of water. The largest thing around there is probably a small spring in the desert. You know, the Mediterranean was the closest body of water. So how's the water going to accumulate in the middle of the desert? It defies reasoning. It doesn't make sense. So here we go. From reward and immunity, survivors, ready? You ready? Go. See, the real test for you is whether you will trust and obey God. You know, do you follow God's instructions even if it doesn't make sense? Even if you don't understand? Even if you're afraid? How many parents? All right, maybe you can identify with this, because when my girls were younger, still in the house, I would tell them to do something. They would always ask, why? Clean up your room. Why? You know, don't walk out in front of the car. Why? You know, I mean, it was almost that silly sometimes. And I would always say, because I said so. It's called obedience. God says, just obey. You may see the reward immediately. You may see the reward and the benefit down the road. You may have to wait 120 years. In fact, you may not know until you get into eternity. Friends, you would not need faith if everything happened like that. Outwit, outplay, outlast. See, challenge is on for us. Noah, he's this example of patience and persistence and determination and hard work. And he's up for the challenge. And that's almost an understatement, because I think about the challenges he would have faced. I mean, the Bible says it took 120 years for him to build the ark. 120 years, God delayed the flood. And then finally the time came. It says, so God said to Noah, everyone has filled the earth with anger and violence. So I will destroy all living things. I will remove them from the earth. See, there's a limit to God's patience. There's a limit to what God will put up with. You know, after God decides that he's going to destroy the world, it took another 120 years I mean, why 120 years? Well, God was waiting to see if somebody might repent during that time. And he was giving Noah enough time to build the ark because it took him that long to do it. Here's a question for you. If you really want God to use you, can you maintain your enthusiasm for that? Can you stay motivated? Can you remain excited about whatever it is? You know, when you're going to make a change in your life, can you stay the course? Can you keep going even if you knew it's going to take the rest of your life to do it? See, it's not so much about how you start. I see lots of people start stuff. But how do you finish in your life? See, Noah, he's determined. 120 years, day in and day out, he's preaching and he's building and he's sawing and he's sanding and he's nailing and tarring and whatever else he had to do. And I'm sure, I am absolutely sure there were days it was monotonous. I'm sure there were times that he was frustrated. I'm sure there were days he complained. I'm sure there were times he come home and just thought, got to do this again. And I am absolutely sure that there were days he thought about quitting. But he didn't. See, he persists. He outlasts. You know, and one of the reasons why God doesn't use very many people is because too many people give up too soon. You know, there are reasons that people get eliminated, so to speak. I mean, sometimes we get eliminated because of the challenge. You know, because of the challenge, instead of rising to the challenge, what we do, we just bail on it. Oh, I know that's what God wants me to do, but that looks hard. I'm going to do it. I'm in. Oh, this is really hard. I quit. Friends, every good idea has a challenge. Every possibility has problems. But that is how you grow. That's how you mature. That's how you develop in your life. Noah had all these challenges. I mean, he faced some serious ones. Can you imagine? I mean, I was thinking about all the things that he had to work through and think through. You know, how do you separate the animals that want to eat each other? You know, obviously you're not going to put a lion with a gazelle. You're not going to put the birds and the worms together. You got to keep them separated, right? How are you going to feed all these animals? You don't know how long you're even going to be on this ark. You know, it's not like all the animals like corn. It was a challenge, and there were problems, but friends, they were God's problems. And I would imagine he was thinking, well, if God can make the world, if God can create animals, I guess he can figure out how I can keep them all fed. Sanitation. Any of you ever thought about the sanitation issues? I mean, it would have smelled, I'm guessing. You know, but what's the alternative here? You go outside, you're going to drown, you got to stay inside. It's not much of an option there. There were problems, but they were God's problems. They were God's problems. When the stress and the pressure, they had to build in his life, and I'm going to guess there were times that he was tempted to give up. What happens in your life when the pressure hits? You tempted to give up in your life? See, many, many people get eliminated because they can't deal with the challenges. They can't deal with the problems. The fact is, some get eliminated because of the tribe. You know, people will disappoint you. People will misunderstand you. People will criticize you. People will let you down. In fact, people will conspire and build alliances against you. And that will make you want to give up on something. Because somebody said, oh, don't work on your marriage. Oh, let that go. You can't deal with your kid, just let them go. You know, you can't make a change in your life, let it go. Friends, God uses people that are committed. every day, Noah, he's out there preaching the message. I mean, he wasn't standing in an auditorium like this, but he was doing a more effective message. He was living it with his life, with his actions. Every day it stood out as he's hammering and nailing and cutting boards and doing what God called him to do, because it was saying to the world, I believe God. You may not get what I'm doing. You may think what I'm doing is a joke, but I believe God. And he stood out. 120 years he stood out. See, the evil one wants to eliminate you, wants to take you out of contention, because he does not want God to use you. He doesn't. So how do you get in the game? How do you meet the challenge in life? How do you become usable? Well, friends, first of all, don't let Satan outwit you. Do not let culture seduce you. You got to pay attention. You've got to be available. You cannot be outwitted. And what happens so many times, we're chasing so much stuff, we miss God. And I want to challenge you to play smart in your life, to wise up a little bit. Make God a priority in your life, which may mean rearranging your schedule. It may mean dropping some things. Here's a question for you. Are you too busy for God? See, when there's an opportunity for ministry, to be involved in ministry, what's your response? What's your first thought? Oh, I don't have time for that. See, the problem at Faith Fellowship is not that we're not committed. We're too committed. We're too committed. See, instead of being committed to a few great things, we're committed to like 20 things in our lives. You know, there's golf and basketball and soccer and scouts and clubs and causes and academies and this and that and on and on. And I could go on and on. I could go on and on and on stuff. Don't misunderstand me. Those are all good things. All good things. But when you're trying to do 20 of those things, you're not really committed to anything. I hear it regularly. People go, I can't attend church regularly because I got this and this and this and this and this and this. Don't really have time to spend with God on a daily basis. I don't pray on a regular basis. I don't study my Bible on a regular basis. Why? Because I got this and this and this and this and this. Friends, when you sideline God, when you push God out, even if it's just a season, no matter how good the thing is, you are being outwitted. You're being outwitted. And at some point, you got to wise up. And you got to prioritize and strategize. And you got to get shrewd in your life. Put God first. Do not be outwitted. And don't get outplayed. Don't get outplayed. Follow God no matter what. Complete commitment, full obedience. Here it is, God, I'm yours. You know, be honest with yourself for a moment, because this will determine what kind of game you play. Are you more interested in pleasing people or pleasing God? Because the answer to that is defining. See, the challenge is on. Dare to stand out. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have convictions in the society. Dare to be different. Not weird, different. Big difference there. Dare to be committed to God's plan fully, completely, totally. See, dare to be faithful even when you don't understand, even when you're not sure what the next step is. Some of you are there right now. You're like, I don't know what the next steps are. Well, just know, take the next one. You don't have to see all of them. Just take the next challenge. Face the next challenge. God will honor that. And at some point, you just have to say, I will follow you to the best of my ability, God. And you just do it. And then you got to be willing to outlast. Never give up. Some of you came in today, you're ready to give up on something. Never give up. With God, never give up. Whatever it is, never quit. Make a commitment. Ask God to help you be a persistent person in whatever area that is necessary. There will always be challenges. There will always be problems. There will always be delays. In fact, one of the greatest tests of faith, I believe, is can you wait? Can you keep going? Can you keep pursuing? Can you keep moving forward? Or do you just give up at the slightest whim? See, the reward goes to those that can outlast, that can run and keep going. See, Noah, he's in the Faith Hall of Fame. Book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer writes this. Because Noah had faith, he was warned about something that had not yet happened. He's talking about the flood coming. He obeyed and built a boat that saved him and his family. In this way, the people of the world were judged, and Noah was given the blessing that comes to everyone who, what? Pleases God. Wow. Pleases God. What's God been doing in your life lately? Why don't you think about that for a minute? What's he been doing lately? And I'm not talking 10 years ago. I mean in the last week or the last month. You know, when was the last time that you had a prayer answered? When was the last time you said yes to a God-given opportunity in your life? When was the last time you allowed God to use you in an exciting way to help someone? Neighbor, somebody at work. In other words, are you letting God use you? Because that's where you find fulfillment. That's where you find satisfaction. You will not find it in things. You know, the stuff of this world that promises, oh, if you just do this, you'll be satisfied. If you just have this, it'll be the ultimate. That's a lie. You only find it when you're in God's purpose, when being at the center of that is important to you and you live there, then you begin to experience fulfillment. And friends, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. He has a plan for your life. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And friends, when you please God, hear this, when you please God, when you make that your priority, you can face any challenge. Some of you have challenges today. You can face any trial. Some of you are going through trials. When you please God, you can get through whatever you need to get through. And friends, you can be way more than a survivor. See, I believe we can thrive in life. We can push forward when everybody else is bailing out. But it really has to do with, are you going to please God? Are you going to please God? Let's bow in a word of prayer to God. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just press us today. That area where we're not pleasing you. In fact, if truth were known, we know it's not pleasing you. God, I pray that you would help us make a change. Maybe it means we need to engage in something. Maybe we need to disengage from something. God, whatever it is, that your Spirit would just press us. God, that we would we'd live in complete obedience to you. God, that area where we're resisting, we're trying to give you part time, part way. God, that we would just break free and just say, I am all in, God. I'm yours. God, I pray that as we step into our work lives tomorrow, our families, all those things, that we would seek to please you with all we say, all we do. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. This day and every day, God's people said,